Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and we are now...
Ciao!
Hi. We are a few days out from the historic Bachelor Season 28 finale. Still can't stop thinking about it. Don't want to stop thinking about it, quite frankly. Enjoy thinking about it.
Never will.
No, probably not.
Never will.
I do think this changed the game.
I've been telling everyone. I made my brother go watch the season.
That's fantastic. I made my parents watch it, at least the finale, and they were complaining that I wasn't in the show.
I'm not quite sure that they know what our job is.
I don't think they understood. No.
You're not in the show. What do they think we're doing?
I have no idea. But that's where it lies. I was like, thanks for watching it. Were you there? Were you in the audience or something? I was like, no, I just cover this sport and train players for it. Nonetheless, thank you, Mom and Dad, if you're listening to this, which you're not, for watching this.
Unaffiliated.
At any rate, we have a giant show. So much has happened, even in just the 2 days. We record this on Thursday, of course. Comes out on Friday for everyone. But so much has happened, even in just a couple of days after the finale. And we are going to be covering all of it right here, right now. Well, let's do it, Pace Case. This is
Game of Roses. State of the Game.
All right. We have a very interesting state of the game. We know Daisy rejected the crown. We saw her do it in the finale. And we are now getting a body of evidence building that corroborates the rumor, which we put out on our recap, that Maria has also rejected the crown or been rejected from wearing the crown, one or the other. Stylecaster had a good article about this that kind of consolidates everything. basically saying Lauren Hollinger, who was obviously Maria's friend this season, has confirmed in an apparent Instagram DM to a fan that Maria did turn down the role, saying, this fan said, "I'm disappointed as fuck in who Bachelorette is. Ugh. I wanted you or Maria. Lol. Happy for Jen and all, but still sad." This fan wrote that to Lauren, who supposedly responded, quote, "She turned it down, but I'm still happy for Jen." Then we have Maria's dad, Nick, who we all know and love, confirmed that Maria turned down the role in a TikTok comment saying, "Maybe she said no." And then Nick commented on this video.
"Maybe I did also say no."
So her dad's kind of corroborating this. Then also we have, of course, the great one, Nick Vial, saying on the Vial Files, quote, "They didn't do Jen any favors by not focusing on her story. Now, I was told by someone who was told that as of a week ago, Maria was the Bachelorette." Now, this person could have been definitely strong. They clearly were, but I thought it was.
Wrong?
No. It says, I mean, at least this says strong, but it must be wrong. I think this is a typo. I think you're right. He says, 2 hours before we're recording this, his Vial Files, "I called a friend and they were like, yeah, so it's not her, it's Jen. I was surprised, but I heard Maria was the choice and they couldn't make it work for reasons that are unclear, but I could be wrong. I'm sure Maria will be asked about the process." So we have all of these rumors swirling, right? The bottom line is this. Their top two choices for Crown, there being the producers and ABC, we're talking about Maria and we're talking about Daisy, turned it down. Mm-hmm. They rejected it.
The two most parasocially followed people in the franchise from this season.
Yeah.
I mean, it clearly looks like they were intending Daisy to be it, given the finale.
Absolutely.
Like, they orchestrated this whole final rose ceremony thing for her.
Absolutely. And by the way, they had to, in the show, bring her out and have her say on camera, "I don't want to do this." They don't have to do that.
To try to avoid backlash, I'm sure.
Yes, to be like, "Look, we tried to get her, guys. We tried, and she's saying no." They're putting it squarely on her, trying to essentially, I believe, deflect blame that would come to the franchise for not having her as the Bachelorette. Now, the Maria thing is a different story.
But people are still mad.
Of course.
Either with both. Yeah.
Absolutely. And obviously no one should be mad. Jen is going to be a fantastic Bachelorette. I have no doubt about this.
I agree. Since the announcement, that initial disappointment just that it wasn't Maria, I've started getting so excited about Jen.
Absolutely.
I think she has so much personality, and people who say it's going to be whatever, a boring season, I think you're wrong. I think we're seeing how this franchise is now producing their leads.
I agree.
I think they're putting them on a pedestal. I think we're going to see her best qualities. I'm hoping, manifesting.
I agree 100% with that. But I will say this, not about Jen, about the franchise. Do we have a problem here? That their two first choices for Crown said, "Fuck you very much. I ain't doing this."
I literally can't remember a single Crown rejection that we've known about. I mean, I'm sure there were Tyler Cameron every year.
Yeah, but Tyler Cameron, like, we're not getting the information that Daisy or Maria, like, wanted too much, that they were demanding millions of dollars or anything. That's what Tyler Cameron's doing. He was basically saying, like, "I want final cut and you're paying me $1 million. And they were like, "Yeah, dude, we're not doing that. Okay, bye. I'm going to go make my doghouse shows and my..."
I get final cut on doghouse shows.
Exactly. So I'm just saying, I don't think that's the case here. I find it also especially interesting that we are in a season where there was no real villain. We had some dust ups between Maria and Sydney and Leia and all that, but there wasn't really like a true villain that people, you know, jumped on and really hated. It was like, you picked a side.
You wouldn't say it's Sydney?
No, because I think some people were on her side. Ashley Iaconetti came out on her side. She was the one who helped coach her into the game and all that. I think, like, I'm not saying a lot of people chose Sydney's side, but some people did. And it wasn't just like, "Oh, this person's a horrible villain." It was like, who do you believe in this situation? There was still some gray area that allowed the fourth audience to potentially not see her as a villain. Certainly, even that villainy was treated in a different way at the end with Maria saying, "Lay off of Sydney and Leia. They didn't do anything." That's different than we've ever seen villains being treated before. Usually, they are just raked over the coals again and again and again and again. Everybody hate them. Everybody send them death threats. So in a season where that's not happening, two of these players still are like, no, it's not worth getting back into this again.
But something else is happening that I think is factoring in here. The past few seasons, people haven't gotten social media gains. Maybe the ring winner. Both Daisy and Maria, we'll get to this in gains, got extraordinary gains for the past 5 years. Nothing comes close. So if you want to be an influencer and you already have 500,000 followers, you can be an influencer. You don't need to be The Bachelorette.
500,000 ain't 2 million. You know what I mean? And I think like drafting off of like what you saw Daisy do, and we're going to get to her gains, what you saw Daisy gain, what you saw Maria gain, if you get the crown on top of that, you're in the million club for sure.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to be able to ride through your season getting at least another 500,000. So you're looking at a 1.5 to 2 million. This is like Bachelor season 24 era, Pilot Pete era type numbers. But if you don't take the crown, you're walking out of here capped at, I think, in the 700 to 800. Maybe you get on Dancing with the Stars. Maybe that can bump you a little bit. But then that fades. We see that with all the leads. Their numbers drop, you know, to the tune of multiple hundreds of thousands years later after their seasons are gone. So I think maybe something else is going on, and I'll get to it in my scream, actually.
What if they got cast in something else?
You can't.
Perfect match.
You can't. For at least a year, you are chained to the Bachelor franchise. A year from the final air date of your season. So that clock is starting now for everybody who is not Jen. And maybe Paradise comes into play. We'll get to that in a couple of weeks when we issue our How to Say Paradise episode.
You think they would turn down the lead but go on Sand?
I don't know. Sand is, I'll say this. Well, who knows what Sand is going to wind up being, if it winds up even existing. But I do think Sand is like, you have the ability to blend in there, you know? Crown is like the whole thing's pointed at you. The whole thing.
Right. It's a really intense job.
Yes. That said, I do think that they have the backs of the leads better. I think season 20 of Charity Lawson's Bachelorette season showed us that. And I think this season 28 with Grazie showed us that.
And they're going to have to do that for Jen.
They must. Yes, of course. And I think they will. Jen's biggest, I think, hurdle is that they cast this season for Maria, the guys. And they just threw Jen in last minute.
I briefly looked through the photos. I was like, huh?
Yeah.
Are we going to end the Dwab or not? We're not gonna.
Not this season. Doesn't look like it.
There's barely any Asian players cast. I hope they fly in some heavy hitters that are not in this group.
Well, they would have had to have flown them in yesterday because they're shooting night one today.
Oh God.
So
unlikely.
Unless they bring them in mid-season or some shit like that.
Okay, Clues and I were talking about one potential idea. This is Conspiracy Town. Pack your bags. But we noticed that John B. was in the audience sitting with Sean McLaughlin. An interesting duo to be representing Bachelor in Paradise, I would say.
But please not them. No offense to either of them, but please not them. Please not them. No offense.
Oh my God.
You can't, and you're going to hear a lot more of this.
You don't think he has next crown potential?
God, no. Because he comes from a tainted season. In my mind, and you're going to hear about this when we do our How to Save Bachelor in Paradise, you cannot bring anyone back from before season 28, in my opinion. I think this is a reset. You take Bachelor season 28 and move forward.
Unless it's Pilot Pete.
Yeah, big superstars, sure.
Or Maria's season.
But even that, it feels old to me now. Let it lie. You basically reset the show. Onward and upward. Don't look back, because you've got a huge amount of momentum going now. I don't think you pull into the past like that to like remind, at least like hardcore fans like us, to remind us of the taint of those seasons, all those bubble seasons, everything that kind of came after that. It was all bad.
We want to forget the taint.
We do. Forget the taint. Move on. Now, let me ask you this. You know, we've discussed, is this a producerial problem that there are two top choices for lead? We're like, no, fuck you. I'm not doing it. Is this a fourth audience problem? Is the fourth audience too toxic? They made a big meal of that at the tell-all. And it's like when the players are looking at that and they're seeing all the nasty DMs and they've got their 500 to 700K and they're like, yeah, maybe I could hit 1.5. Maybe I could hit two. But is it worth absolute no. hate I'm going to be getting in my DMs every fucking day as my season's airing.
I think they go on. They're looking at the numbers for the previous season. There's no way you're like, oh, the chances of me even getting 100,000 Instagram followers is not that high.
Yeah.
This is probably way more than they were even expecting. It's more than we were expecting.
Yep.
And I think they're like, wow, I got away with a lot and I don't have to shoot another season. Fantastic.
But this is like, to me,
quit my day job.
There's still a piece of this, and it's money. The piece is money. There is still a piece of this that I don't think the show is doing right. It's like, you're going to ask that person to come be your bachelor or bachelorette. In some cases, we've heard players making like $100,000 to do it, you know, but I think that is like a high number. I feel like now you need to make that a prize.
You don't think they pay at least $100,000?
I think they pay exactly that.
I feel like we heard $100,000 for like Emily Maynard.
I think it's exactly that. I don't think it's gone up. And it's like, that's a good amount of money, but it's not like a real good amount of money. You know,
not for all the work you're doing.
Not only not for all the work you're doing, but it's also like now if you're getting these kinds of numbers, like I do think Jen Tran's going to hit a million because she's Bachelorette. And so the money that you're going to be making off of your influence, your social media, your spawn con is going to dwarf $100,000.
I don't think so. Joey didn't hit a million. You think Jen will?
I think she absolutely will. I'm hopeful. If you're not following Jen Tran, please follow Jen Tran.
You keep predicting it.
And it'll come true one day.
Gary's going to hit a million. Joey's going to hit a million.
Now, Gary, I kind of knew. He's like, he's an old guy or whatever. But I was right about the success of that season. I remember before Golden, you were like, I don't know. And I was like, this thing's going to be massive.
Oh my gosh. I wasn't even going to watch. I was like, I can't do this and BIP at the same time.
No one else could either, including the producers. Hey.
Yeah, exactly. None of the viewers in America. No, I don't know what this is. I'm very curious of the details of this because I don't know. It at least seemed like Maria and Daisy were going for Crown. The amount of social media that Daisy, we're going to get to it. The amount of social media she's putting out that she prepared for this week is extraordinary.
It's unbelievable. A machine. She's a high, high level player, to be sure. I mean, you heard our recap. She has changed the game. Period. There is no, and so is Joey. They have both changed the fucking game. We will never see a season, I think, at least in the near future, next 5 years, that is not heavily influenced by the plays they made. I think you're going to see mimicries of almost all of the things they did, especially now you're talking about like,
are they going to do that final rose ceremony like that every season now?
Something like that, I think. I saw a little bit of Grazi on Happy Hour, which is like, you guys are doing good with the Golden Happy Hour. You got to get rid of Grocery and Serena. I'm very sorry. We need somebody better on that podcast. The podcast of record has to be like a little journalistic. You can't have Grocery being like, hey guys, I heard you had fun on your last trip. It's like, oh shit.
I think that's funny, but I don't have to listen to the whole episode.
But he should be on fucking clickbait. That's what I'm saying. Like, he is funny. And he should be on a funny podcast. Bachelor Happy Hour shouldn't be a funny podcast. They can have fun, but it's the podcast of record for Bachelor Nation. It's got to be a little more journalistic, in my opinion. This is just style. But
I was going to say, what about Gabby Windy? And I was like, oh, she's got her own now.
God, I know. I think Grocery, Gabby, and Olivia Lewis is like a perfect clickbait, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Bring back clickbait. Do that.
Also, how funny would it be if he gets demoted to clickbait after that point? I feel like the amount of like bitterness would be like evident, and it would be funny.
I don't think he cares if the check's the same. I don't think he cares. He's doing Maybelline commercials, for Christ's sake.
What do you mean? That's a high-end brand.
I know. But like, you could the whole premise of the commercial that he's in is he doesn't know anything about makeup. They make him look like a fool. He's like, yeah, I'll do a full edit for the Maybelline commercial.
I think they look like, they make him look like an every man, every hetero man looking at the makeup aisle like, whoa.
Yeah, to buy makeup for your fiance or wife. I don't know if that actually happens.
Got my spring shade on now.
Who bought it? Grocery? Did Grocery buy that shade for you?
No one has ever bought me makeup except for myself.
That's what I'm saying. Guys don't buy makeup for their significant others. I feel like that's extremely rare.
It would be so funny if Jake just gave me like a foundation. I'd be like, what are you doing? This is not the color of my skin at all.
It's like, I'll pick you up a smoothie at the grocery store. I don't know if I'm capable of selecting your makeup for you. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm simply saying that I think we are in a very interesting period where there is a massive amount of flux happening. And it's because of the success of the show, but it's also, there is still this like hesitation at, do I really want to do this again, even as The Crown? And I personally don't think that's a good thing. They got to fix this. You want the first person you offer Crown to be like, abso-fucking-lutely, can't wait to do it.
Yes.
That era seems to be over.
Sign whatever you want. I'll do it for whatever amount of money.
They need to get back to that. And I don't know how to do it except with money.
I can't believe it's like, even one would be shocking. Two in one season. I'm like, dang.
And also, if these rumors are true about Maria, she was the Bachelorette. They were shooting with her for a few days. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know what? I'm out. Or they fired her. Either way, bad on the producers. Like, what did they do? Let's say that she ejected herself. What did they do to her in those 3 days?
It's making me like flashback to the rumors about Claire's season. There were like all these rumors in the forums that she was like bad on set and stuff, when really she was the best. She fell in love harder and faster than anyone.
But I mean, to have all of these in quotes rumors coming out, and they're like, they're not even rumors at this point. You're seeing it in DMs from people. Vial's talking about it. It's like, I feel this is pretty well substantiated. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if she quit of her own volition or it was a firing or...
I mean, look, just looking at the cast, you know that Jen wasn't the person that they cast for. There would be more Asian players.
I agree. And I think that's a problem. And they are doing their best to cobble this thing together and make it look like, nope, this is what we had in mind all along, a sixth place finisher who has no catchphrase, and we'll try three or four catchphrases in the tell-all, and also let's do some shots. And
no catch. What do you mean? Shot o'clock.
Yeah.
I like the naked cuddling line.
Totally. And again, I don't mean to you know, paint the idea that I think she's going to be a bad Bachelorette. I think the exact opposite. I think she's going to be absolutely phenomenal. And I can't wait to watch the season. But that season will have this extra element in it. That's like, the producers are having to kind of scramble here to put this together right. And I think we should all like keep that in mind as we watch that season.
The fireworks say Maria.
Exactly. Like, the drones come out. Happy Bachelorette Day, Maria. I mean, Jen. No, take those drones down. It's just a weird moment in the history of this to have come off such a high, such a massive swing of momentum from Charity to Golden. Let's forget about Bachelor in Paradise season 9 to Bachelor season 28. Everything's on the upswing. And then now I'm out too. Oh shit. What? And like, why is that happening? Is it the rise of third wave?
Why is it happening?
I think it's the rise of third wave. Personally, I think both Daisy and Maria are like, oh, I could get on Traitors. I could get on Special Forces. Probably not Special Forces. They reserve that for like high level players. I think ring winners, leads, runners up, shit like that. I guess Daisy maybe. But all these different shows, The Goat is now out there. House of Villains is out there. Mm-hmm. I think they see.
Just wait for those.
Yeah. There's a bigger third wave push, and those shows are more fun to be on. Even the Special Forces one where they literally physically torture you. They at least aren't going to give you a bad edit.
There's also laws about how much the production is allowed to interfere on like a Traitors, on a game show where there's a money prize. So
right.
I feel like they tend to be more better treatment of the people on it.
Yeah.
No, I am so curious. Are we ever going to find out this tea?
I think we will, of course, yes. Because Maria is going to, a year from now, I believe her contract will expire in a year if she does no other Bachelor things. Well, although, if she pulled out of that Bachelorette contract, because that locks the leads, I think, get locked in for 2 years, I think. If she signed that contract, she may be still under that.
Even if they didn't pick her?
If she pulled out of the contract, she might still be beholden to it. I don't know. But that's my thought of it is, they're looking at this and they're seeing those Instagram numbers go up, her and Daisy, and they're like, well, I could probably parlay what I have now into something and Tyler Cameron it. I mean, he made that blueprint, really. You know what I mean? Of never coming back. One and done. Mm-hmm.
You get one good edit, you quit when you're ahead.
Yeah, basically.
I don't get why they wouldn't do lead. And then I would really not get if they went on sand then. Like, your numbers just like...
I don't think they're going to come back to the franchise.
I don't know. Maybe we're in a new era. Maybe we're not. But yeah, I think it's they got their numbers and they're like, good. I'm good. I can take a break. Chill out. Sell some clothes.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think there might also be a kind of behind the scenes thing happening where you're at that level. They're offering you the bachelorette. You call the most recent bachelorettes. Hey, Gabby Windy, Rachel Recchia, should I do this? Charity, of course, is gonna, I think, give you probably the most real answer of like, look, it worked out for me. Did they make me do some shit I didn't want to do? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it worked out. Then you go one season back and you're like, you look at Gabby, who obviously her season ended in disaster. Rachel Recchia, disaster. Go back a season prior to that. You've got Michelle Young. Her season was relatively okay, but she's not with her guy. You've got Katie Thurston. You've got Tayshia. Your recent crowns are not going to have kind things to say about your franchise. I think that might play into it a little bit.
I'm so curious. Well, let's get into the portion where we discuss the astronomical gains that we saw this week. It felt healthy. It felt like we're back in it, baby.
It truly did. It felt like we were beyond back in it. This is...
This Week in...
Gains.
The finale of historic Bachelor Season 28 was massive. The three-hour spectacle pulled in the highest number of the season with a staggering 0.80 in the 18 to 49-year-old demo with 4.138 million raw viewers, also the highest number of the season. Just for context, I believe the highest number other than that was a 0.59, I want to say. So they eclipsed even their own biggest episode. And of course, across Monday night, it was utter domination across the networks. CBS had an episode of The Neighborhood that got a 0.49. Weak. NBC had The Voice, 0.42. Pathetic. Fox MasterChef, 0.29. Get out of the game. And the CW aired The Ride with a 0.03. Are you even here?
I love this bit. Yes, clues. Take off. Roast it.
It's not a bit. Utter domination. It's almost doubling NBC's rating. It's, you know, demolishing CBS. It's almost tripling Fox MasterChef. And it's, I don't even know how to do the math of what it did to the CW. Times infinity?
You can't multiply zero.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, those ratings translated into some big gains for our players in the parasocial world. Gays extraordinaire Joey gained 178K this week for a total of 754K Instagram followers and gained 19.5K for a total of 207.8K followers on TikTok.
Damn. 754. If he gets Dancing with the Stars,
750,000.
He might do it.
I mean, Caitlyn was at 1.9 when she went on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she broke two.
She was some time out of the game as well. That was multiple years after her season. If he goes right into it, who knows? Anyway, the top five Instagram gains are Kelsey Anderson gained a single week number we have not yet seen since the Popeye era. A whopping 364K gain for a total of 554K. Wow.
Second place, Daisy Kent also gained an extraordinary 233K for a total of 747K.
Our next crown, Jen Tran, gained 82.2K in third place, bringing her to 164K total.
Maria Gorgas gained 58K, coming to a total of 593K.
Damn. Rachel Nance in fifth place gained 32.1K for a total of 90.7K.
And now for the top five Instagram chart. Number one, Daisy Kent came out on top for that finale performance with 747K. Damn. Hit it out of the park. Damn.
She really did. That finale performance of her will haunt me. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Friend of Vin Diesel, Maria Gorgas, is in second place with 593K total. She, of course, was knocked out of first from last week.
Kelsey Anderson's close behind her in third with 554K.
Jen Tran is in fourth now with 164K.
And Lexi Young rounds out the top five with 92.3K. Almost all of the top five are in the 100K club. We're coming back, baby.
It's very close. Very close. I know. Look, it's signs of life at the very least. Mm-hmm. I do very much miss the days when top four, you're all getting a million. You're all getting a million. Yeah. I miss that so much.
You don't even have to post. You'll just get a million.
Exactly. But maybe we'll get back to those days if our United States government outlaws TikTok. Then Instagram will explode once again. And everybody will have a million. Even people who are not on television. Everybody gets a million Instagram followers. All right. Top five TikTok chart. Here we go. Daisy Kent in number one spot with 432K. She gained 139.4K this week alone.
Maria Gorgas in second with 351.4K. She put on 23.5K this week.
Kelsey Anderson is in third place on the TikTok chart with 331.4K, gaining 187.3K this week.
Wowee. Night one player Kira Brush stayed strong in fourth with 120.4K.
That's unreal. Jen Tran jumped into the charts with 94.8K in fifth place, a 33.1K bump this week. Pretty good.
Not too shabby. I can't believe Daisy got basically 750K. So that's both her and Joey. And then the others are kind of in the 500Ks down to 100K, but it's healthy. These are healthy numbers. It's like a baby. You want it to be in the certain percentile of height and weight.
I agree.
That's how I feel about this.
I agree. And speaking of gains and health, I've been making some gains in my personal health with AG1. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why I've been drinking AG1 every day. It's just a simple one scoop, drop it in some water, mix it up once a day, every day. You're going to feel energized, focused, nourished, strong, ready to take on the day, whatever it may bring. Each serving of AG1 delivers a daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple.
With AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from Whole Foods. I like to think of it as nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases right from the start of the day. Bases.
Cover it all. I like to drink AG1 first thing in the morning. Again, you just drop one scoop of it in some water, you stir it up and drink it, and you're ready to go so that you know you're getting all your daily nutrients first thing. You don't have to worry about it. If there's one product we can recommend to elevate your health, it is AG1. That's why we partnered with them. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. You can try AG1 right now for free and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/roses. That's drinkag1.com/roses. Check it out.
Clues. I quit bras during the pandemic. I said, no more. They're not comfortable. I'm being comfy as a lifestyle. And I couldn't picture a bra that would exist that I would want to wear. But today's sponsor, Honeylove, has revolutionized the bra game. They don't have underwire, they don't have bulky fabrics, and they are so soft. Basically feels like a second skin, which is the only type of bra I will be wearing in the year of our gore, 2024. Mm-hmm. I got the crossover bra, the black runway one. It has this cute like mesh that adds, peekaboo mesh that adds this very sexy touch. So it's like, doesn't look like it's, you know, a comfortable bra, but it is. And I guess I'm a bra person again, it turns out.
Well, congrats, Pace Case. I know it's a big step for you. Right now, you can treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/roses. Use that exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/roses. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support Game of Roses and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honey Love because you deserve it.
Clues. A Mother's Day is coming up.
That's true.
You know, that's one of the most important holidays. We got to honor our mothers. They all went through a lot to get us here into this planet. And the gifts for Mother's Day, they can be a little predictable and boring. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. You only need one bathrobe, in my opinion. That's why Aura Frames is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage. You can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. Not only is she going to be grateful that it's not just another sweater for Mother's Day, she's also going to love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
Or in my case, she gets to see more of my cat, Skaboolian. My mom loves seeing him rolling around, playing with his toys, doing whatever, and I can upload as many images of him as I want every day, and my mom gets to see them in her Aura frame and then text me about it for all the rest of the day.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Everybody listening to Game of Roses can save on that perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ROSES at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Clues, you know, I'm on my year of health, 2024. I'm trying to really focus on that. You know, I've got my career in order. I've got, you know, other aspects of my life, but I eat badly and I take care of myself badly. But that is changing now. I have discovered Lumi. Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to work not only on pits, but also feet, privates, and everywhere else we get odor. I use their wipes. I use their, they have a traditional deodorant stick too, which I use, a lovely coconut smell about it. And no matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long, all thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula. They have over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it.
It's baking soda-free, it's paraben-free, it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt, clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average person has an odor level of 6 out of 10. Did you know that?
That's
a
disgusting.
High level. With Lumi, the average odor level is, guess what? 0 out of 10.
Yes.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice. You could get mini body wash, you can get deodorant wipes, whatever you want, and free shipping. And as a special offer for everyone listening right now, new customers are going to get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code ROSES at LumiDeodorant.com. That's L-U-M-E deodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off the starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use that code ROSES.
And now, let's check out all of those tids that are fit to print.
This is... Bachelor Nation News.
Up first in Bachelor Nation News. All hail. Our new bachelorette has been crowned. The sixth place finisher from historic Bachelor Season 28, Jen Tran, will wear the crown in the upcoming Bachelorette Season 21. Jen is the first Asian bachelorette in the 22-year history of the show. Kayla Quinn almost had that designation back in 2016 after a third-place finish on Ben Higgins' Bachelor Season 20. Her contract was signed, and they were actually shooting hometown footage with Kayla when JoJo Fletcher's victimization edit became too powerful and the producers shifted gears, crowning JoJo the Season 12 bachelorette. Congratulations to Jen, who we think is going to be a fantastic crown. As she begins shooting literally today, as we are recording this, we can't wait to cover her season. And geez, just wish you so much luck right now.
Good luck, Jen. She
is, you know, it's about 3 o'clock here in the afternoon in LA as we're recording. All the guys right now are in their hotel rooms, getting dressed, having their last minute preparations with their producers, about to get in those limos. And as the sun begins to set, they will pull up at Villa de Lavina and step out and say, "Where's Maria?" No, they will step out and say,
"Let's take a shot. It's shot o'clock."
Yeah. She's going to have to do 32 shots in a row. That's how they start night one.
Yeah, they're all shots.
Please do that.
I'm trying to think of what her other little bits could be. She's a PA. She's Manatee PA painting. School. Something about that. Put in. They could put in her job. I know they cut out. They cut out someone's job. Oh, Rachel's from her hometown date. Up next in Bachelor Nation news, BIP season 7 survivors Chris Conran and Alana Milne are engaged. Despite being forced off one of the most heavily producer manipulated seasons in the show's history at the hands of grocery store Joe and his gang of disgruntled females, Conran and Milne have been going strong since they were moved from the cast against their will.
The horribly treated couple took to Instagram this week to announce the big news with some photos of their trip to Bali, where the proposal took place. A few Bachelor Nation luminaries commented on the parasocial play, including Abigail Herringer, the season 25 FIMP recipient, who wrote, "Congrats, you two," double heart emoji. Tammy Lee, who added, "I'm so happy," triple crying face emoji. "I love you guys so much," triple heart emoji. And even the once grocery girlfriend, Kendall Long, said, "Congratulations," heart eyes emoji, smiling heart eyes emoji.
Despite the utter torture that this couple was put through by producers on BIP, we here at Gore are glad to see they are still thriving. Another success story, kind of.
It just goes to show you. BIP needs a massive overhaul. These two, you had two people who are now engaged on that season, and you kicked them off the season in their first episode because they had met outside the show or something. BIP needs massive overhaul. We will get to that in 2 weeks.
Yeah. It also feels like everyone has met on BIP before. I'm like, I don't believe any of these people are meeting for the first time. Up next in Bachelor Nation news, two new podcasts premiered this week in the nation. The first was the next show in the official Bachelor Nation lineup of podcasts, Bachelor Happy Hour, Golden Hour, hosted by two of the Golden Superstar members of Askin from the first season of The Golden Bachelor, Susan Knowles and Kathy Schwartz. And the second was an unofficial Bachelor Nation podcast hosted by one of the first professional players to ever play the game, Bachelor Season 24 PVC innovator Madison Pruitt. In the inaugural episode of her podcast, Stay True, she outlined the difficult time she's had so far in life, highlighted the pain of a high school boyfriend cheating on her. Had a high school boyfriend. Must be nice. just kidding. Not getting into her top choice for a sorority and not being married by her goal age of 22. We will be keeping a close eye on both of these emerging podcasts to see if they can make the cut for our next Digging Deeper.
I listened to the whole first episode of Madison Pruitt's podcast, and I was like, she's going to talk about The Bachelor at the very least. She opens it by saying like, "Hey guys, I wanted to start off my first podcast by just talking about my life and the things I've been through." And I'm like, well, Bachelor's got to be in there. That's the biggest thing that's happened in her life. Nope.
No.
It's
marrying a billionaire.
That's not in there yet either. She's saving all that, I think, for episode 2. She kind of cliffhangs you to be like, and then the next thing that happened is probably the thing most of you are here for, and I'll talk about it next week. So her big traumas were 16 years old, high school boyfriend cheated on her, didn't get into her top sorority, not married by 22. Those are the big takeaways from that podcast. I've done, basically, that's my digging deeper on it. No need to listen.
Yeah. I'm disappointed because when I saw this post, I was so happy for you. I was like,
"Yeah,
your favorite parasocial player has a podcast now? What a gift."
It's a lot of, as you can imagine, God has a plan for you type stuff. And I'm fine with that. Obviously, fine with that. But like,
in my mind, a podcast is the 2024 ministry anyway.
She spent 5 minutes talking about how like crushed she was that her top sorority choice didn't pick her, but God had other plans for her, which was just a different sorority. I was like, okay.
Is her like fan base all 18 or something? Why? That's an odd.
Yeah, I think. Well, I think, I mean, what life experience has she had? That's basically it. It's that. Then she
basketball.
Went to, yeah. She talked a little bit about like high school basketball.
That Nike ad.
Yeah. But Bachelor and Grant Trout are the biggest life experiences she's had, clearly. Anyways, I digress. Let's move on. We have some legal news up next in Bachelor Nation news that concerns Love is Blind. In January, Love is Blind Season 5 Forgotten, Renee Poche took Delirium and Netflix to court to try and stop a multi-million dollar arbitration action that the producers took against her in November of 2023 over contract violations of the NDA she signed. Similar to allegations made by another forgotten from that season, Tran Dang, Poche spoke about what was happening on her season behind the scenes. She claimed that she was being punished by Kinetic Delirium and Netflix for, quote, some limited public remarks about her distressing time on the program, including the terrifying experiences, end quote, she had with another player, Carter Wall.
In her filing earlier this year, Poche called Wall a, quote, walking red flag and claimed producers willfully overlooked his, quote, erratic and alarming behavior and emotional instability. Poche wanted her NDA rendered null and void, which would have been a precedent-setting move in all of reality TV if the judge had granted it, but LA Superior Court Judge Bruce G. Iwasaki did not grant that request in a ruling that stated the motion for a preliminary injunction is denied in its entirety. The court is stuck with the contract. That's the contract.
Poche's attorney stated, whether in arbitration, in a court of law, or even in the court of public opinion, Delirium and Netflix trying to silence a young woman by suing her for $4 million will never be upheld as legally proper. Silencing victims in the workplace has repeatedly been found to be unconscionable. It feels good to know we are on the right side of history here.
We will have to wait and see what the outcome of this case will be, but it is shaping up to either reinforce the unbridled power production companies and studios have to manipulate and control the people in their shows, or help reality TV performers gain a little more humane treatment by the people they're making billions of dollars for.
Yeah, it is very interesting. It's like, you signed the contract. It's a little sleazy and protocol in there. You know what you signed up for. Mm-hmm. But then to not be able to talk about the mistreatment that you suffer at the hands of these people, that Nickelodeon documentary is out right now on Max, I believe, where all these child actors are basically coming forward and talking about, I mean, that's a different scenario. Certainly there's like sexual assault and pedophilia and stuff that was going on in all of these shows. It's horrible, but the same kind of thing applies here. It's this idea that like you can silence these horrible things that happen to people who are on the sets of these shows just because you've signed some contract, you know?
Yeah, like you can say you're signing away your civil rights, but you still have those rights.
Yeah,
you can't violate like, you know, the Geneva Conventions, et cetera, You can't just kill someone on a TV show because they signed a contract. I don't know.
No, I mean, and that is really what it boils down to, is like how much torture are we as a society willing to allow in service of these shows being made?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, you know, as the fourth audience, are we looking the other way from this shit? If you even Google a little bit, if you have anything coming up in your newsfeed about the reality TV shows you watch, you're seeing when these lawsuits happen. That stuff pops up in your Google feed or whatever news app you use. And you're like, oh, shit, you know, some other player just sued Kinetic Content for wrongful imprisonment or whatever. And it's just kind of like, are we OK with that? I guess. I don't know. I'm very curious to see how this one plays out. And if she is found to owe them $4 million, that's personal bankruptcy. Her financial life is destroyed. We will see.
Mm-hmm. I bet she could raise it from the Love is Blind fans.
Maybe. She wasn't on the show. They don't know who she is. She was a forgotten. She got reduced to a pod pal or whatever. Yeah, pod squad. At any rate, let's move on. Finally, in Bachelor Nation news, we're going to take a little walk down memory lane by remembering the historic events that took place this very week in Bachelor Nation history. Bachelor Season 7 kicked off this week in 2005 with fame-adjacent Bachelor Charlie O'Connell. It was the first and only season shot in New York, and limo exits were replaced by players being forced into a round of speed dating in a hotel ballroom that left them with 5 minutes to make a first impression, and two femps were given out. Sarah Welch, who would go on to finish in third place that season, and Carrie, whose last name is lost to time, won the dual femps that season, and that season also saw the first ever one-on-one date rose, which was up for grabs on the first one-on-one of that season. Megan, whose last name is also lost to time, was unable to capitalize on the opportunity and instead suffered a benevolent execution. And the very first one-on-one date rose in history was lost.
It's in Fleiss's back room.
Yeah, he wears it around a necklace. That's it, though. That's all the news that's fit to print. Now let's dive into the next segment of our program where we're talking about all the plays our favorite players are making off the field and on their telephones. This is
the Parasocial play of the week.
Our next crown and cheeky banter seeker, Jen Tran, posted her post-crown announcement Instagram post. Four slide images of her at After the Final Rose. One with DLP, three just herself with the caption, all caps, what a dream. I cannot begin to explain how grateful I am and how surreal this all feels. I'd like to thank my friends and family for supporting me through my journey to this point. Without them, I wouldn't have the strength and courage to do any of this. Also, first Asian bachelorette, you have no idea how much this moment means to me. Growing up, I never got to see anyone who looked like me lead their own love story on TV. To be able to inspire a generation of people to be proud of their culture is something I'm so grateful for. This opportunity to find love as the bachelorette is so much bigger than myself, and I am embracing that wholeheartedly. I am so incredibly excited for this crazy adventure to find my person, and I can't wait for all of us to laugh and cry together. Take a tequila shot for me. Shot o'clock. She didn't put that part in. Cheers. Heart hand emoji. 80.8K likes, 2K comments, including heavy hitters like Joey Grazzi, Maria Gorgas, Jasmine Nguyen, Revian Chang, Tammy Lee, Rachel Kirkconnell, Kayla Quinn, Pilot Rachel, Jill Chen, and Kylie Russell.
Damn. I'm just so excited for her season. Moving on. Kayla Quinn from the unlovable Ben Higgins, season 20, The Bachelor, who shot an intro package to be the first Asian bachelorette, but was replaced by Joe Fletcher last minute, posted an emotional 4TRR Instagram story this week. An image of her tear play accompanied by words, maybe it's pregnancy hormones, but I am so excited to see an Asian bachelorette. Jen Tran is so witty, independent, strong, and smart. I'm just so happy for her. Never thought I'd see Bachelor help an Asian lead find love. But here they are making history, and it's amazing.
In my mind, whenever I think of the first Asian lead, I think of Kayla Quinn and how the whole franchise could have gone differently if they had actually cast her. So it's cool to see this kind of full circle moment. Up next, Christmas tree farmer Daisy Kent may not be ready for the crown just yet, but she was ready for this parasocial week with a flurry of high-performing content. First, Kent posted a few-second reel of her in her finale dress with the caption, who needs a prom dress? Hashtag The Bachelor. 1.5 million views, 85K likes. She also posted a two-slide reel of one formal and one casual photo of Daisy riding on Kelsey A's back with the caption, we all have that one friend. 176K likes, 2.9 million views.
Then she and Rachel Nance made a lip sync video of the dynamic duo totting in sweatsuits to the audio quote, if I'm gonna be sad, I'm gonna do it with pizzazz. The caption reads, at Rachel Marie Ann been waiting forever to post this. Hashtag The Bachelor. Hashtag reality TV. 172K likes. 6.1 million views.
Unreal.
That's more than the show.
More than watch the show?
Yeah. More than the show.
Kelsey Anderson and Joey Grazzi collabed on posting her ring winner first post, a single image of her and Joey at After the Final Rose with the caption, would like to introduce my fiance, Joseph Michael Grazia Day, aka Joey, the not applicable anymore bachelor. I came on The Bachelor excited to embrace a unique life experience. I was open to love, but just not set on it. My mindset going in was Joey's just a guy, I'm just a gal, and we have no idea if we'll mesh or not. So let's find out. And boy, I did. The first week I learned about Joey's tattoos and his motorcycle wreck. The second week he told me how he looks up to his sister's marriage and wants the same utterly obvious love. By the end, I knew who he was at his core. Maybe not how his first tooth fell out, but I knew the kind of husband, father, and friend he would be. After Fantasy Suites, Dez, my producer and now friend, asked me what loving Joey felt like. I said it feels like a perfect day when the sun is out, the clouds are fluffy, when it's not too cold or too hot, and everything just feels right. Joey loving you is effortless like a beautiful sunny day. I feel so thankful for all of the crazy choices we both have made in life that led us to each other. I love you so big, my sweet boy. Thank you for being my best friend above all. Now let's go live our life. Kiss emoji, 477K likes, 4.5K comments.
All these were strong plays with our sweet boy. However, there can be only one winner. Our parasocial play of the week goes to a joint play between Kelsey Anderson and Nick Vial. The pair teamed up with Grazzi to film a very dramatic Instagram reel trailer for their interview on Vial Files. In this trailer, Kelsey opens up a letter to her and Joey on Vial Files stationery, and the card reads, "We need to talk." Kelsey says, "Oh, fuck." And Joey says, "Now you know how it feels." The trailer goes on to punctuate some of the topics, including their fears, their insecurities. Will they make it? This is one of the best podcast advertisements we've ever seen. And we love that Vial was able to step back into the Bachelor universe for just a brief minute to interview his replacement as the new greatest Bachelor of all time. Okay, base case. 104,
I'm glad you read that one.
104.8K likes, 3.7 million views. The greatest Bachelor of all time?
Yes.
I'll give you that. The greatest player of all time? Not even close. That's the great one. Unless Moinsy comes out and does what I think he might be doing.
Did you watch the season I just watched?
I did. He's just not the greatest player. I'm sorry. One runner-up, one crown. Was he the best Bachelor of all time? I think so. Was he the best player of all time? No, not close.
No, it's Caitlin Bristow.
Did he ever go on Bachelor in Paradise? No. Did he have back-to-back end runs in two seasons of Bachelorette? No.
Didn't need it. Didn't need to go on VIP.
Doesn't need it. Well, you need it to be the greatest player, in my opinion. All right, let's move on. We also have a creature to get to here. We had a bunch of strong contenders this week, but Hannah Godwin steps into the creature game, taking her mom to puppy yoga, and she documented this via Instagram reel that had 12.3K likes and 476K views. Congrats to Hannah and all the puppies doing yoga with Hannah and her mom. Now,
so cute.
Let's move on to that portion of our program where Pace Case and I dive deep into the pit to issue forth our screams about how our deep fandom of this show has changed our lives forever. This is
Screams from the Pit.
My scream is an update scream. I screamed a couple weeks ago about how I had made an impulse purchase from looking at Fantasy Suites. I bought the dress that Kelsey Anderson is wearing in the Fantasy Suites rose ceremony. Got it this week. There's the update. Put it on. Wore it for the live. And it's a little, I got it a little too big. There's the update. And I'm going to be switching sizes. But I also noticed, and some pit members messaged me about this, Gabby Windy was wearing this same dress, but in a dark floral pattern at After the Final Rose.
Interesting.
And I saw it. I should have talked about it on the podcast, but, you know, got distracted.
Well, as you know, I am fashion blind, so I will never be able to have these conversations with you. My apologies.
I don't think you're fashion blind. I saw what you wore to the ball.
That's true.
You had the heaviest chains out there.
That's right. Takes a strong person to carry a heavy chain. My scream this week has to do with, of course, the situation we find ourselves in as a fourth audience, with two crowns rejected, one of whom was Maria Gorgas, that we all wanted to be the crown. And I have been up late at night thinking about why that may be, and more importantly, what is next for Maria. In service of these thoughts, this is a person, by the way, that I think doesn't necessarily need my help, I'll say. Nonetheless. I have deep charts.
Nonetheless, you have some ideas.
I have deep charts. Deep charts deep about charts? The next moves. What is next for Maria Gorgas? And I have outlined a 5-year career path for her that I believe is the perfect path. That is my screen. I made a career chart stretching 5 years into the future.
So you're soliciting to coach her in the post game.
I mean, look. I coach players going into the game from, in some cases, helping them apply and cutting their application videos, all the way to people who are like, I made it through the first couple rounds of casting and my friend told me about you, stuff like that too. And I will say, sometimes players will come out of the game and hit me up. That does happen. That's all I'll say. what I have built for Maria,
ominous.
What I have built for Maria is very intricate, and I think it's correct.
Uh-huh.
And it is a 5-year plan.
It's just a shrine.
That charts, yeah. That's my chart. It's just some bizarre shrine with my hand-drawn images of her. No, it has no...
She's really going to like it.
It's not a shrine. It's a document. But
okay.
I spent a lot of time on this, and then when I completed it, I was just like, this may never be seen. C'est la vie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope it's seen, or at least you learned something from the exercise clues.
I learned nothing from the exercise. It was what I learned really was just things I already knew. But what I'm really interested in is helping modern players chart their career through third wave reality TV, which is where we are now. There's a right path to it, I think, because I think you're going to want to get in Traitors seasons 3, 4, 5 are going to be absolutely insane. Whoever's on those seasons, it's going to elongate mm-hmm. your career in reality TV for the next 10 years. You need to be in those seasons. I'll simply say that. Maria, if you're listening. All right. So that's my scream. Let's move on, shall we? We have one more scream to get to.
It's a simple chart. It says go on Traitors.
Yeah. It's not just go on Traitors. It has to do with like sponsorship deals, what kind of parasocial plays you should be making, who you should be aligning yourself with from other franchises, how to get into those other franchises. It's complex, shall we say. But let's move on now to one more scream. As you know, if you listen to this program, if you are on our Patreon, which you can go to by hitting up patreon.com/gameofroses, you join us in the bottom of the pit and you get access to our Discord. There you will find a channel called Screams from the Pit. You can upload a 1-minute or shorter audio clip. And if you have a video or photos that go with it, please feel free. Today's scream did. But we pick the best screams and we play them here. So now we are going to play for you a scream that has come to us from that very channel. And we hope you enjoy. Are you ready, Pace Case?
Hi, Pit. So I recently started working at a puppet shop where they make puppets for large-scale productions such as Amazon, Universal Studios, and the Hollywood Bowl. In my time there, in the storage area, I noticed there was a bin titled Bachelor Puppets, but I racked my brain. I couldn't think of anything involving the Bachelor and puppets, so I figured it must just be a coincidence in the name. A couple weeks ago, we went on a business trip where we all had to share an Airbnb. Monday night came around, and of course, I asked if we could put on our beloved game. At this point, my boss turns to me and said, "Did you know I built puppets for that show?" I tried to ask more questions, but he didn't seem to really know the show very well, so I dropped it. Fast forward to earlier this week when my boss took down the Bachelor bin from storage. He opened it up and showed it to me, and to my surprise, it was filled with puppets that he told me were from the cut Patrick Warburton date on Zach Shallcross's season. I didn't get to take any pictures, but there was a Zach Shallcross puppet, there was a Jesse Palmer puppet, there were puppets of women in wedding dresses, and wooden roses for the puppets to hand out. Then, to my surprise, my boss gifted me a puppet of one Rachel Recchia. Apparently, there was going to be a little segment where they used the puppet to make fun of Rachel for breaking Zach's heart, which blew my mind. Anyway, I am now the proud owner of a Rachel Recchia puppet that was actually used in our beloved game.
This is... the tea that is spilled in this scream?
Yeah, this is a contract violation.
It's talking about the missing Warburton footage. And it reveals that not only is there a missing Patrick Warburton date, there's also puppetry. And that they brought out a puppet of Rachel Recchia, who wasn't even there.
Yeah, to make fun of Shawcrank.
It's like the Clayton Sucks song with the children. It's giving that.
Yes, it is. This scream is high level or low level, however you want to measure it in the pit. I am astounded by it. What you have, what you behold, is a dark treasure. This puppet, we have pictures of this puppet. We have pictures of the rose that came with this. You should definitely check them out. It'll be on our Instagram. This puppet is absolutely incredible. The fact that this puppet date, the day footage of it never aired. It was never in the document. And B, that this Rachel Recchia puppet wasn't even used on the date. This is a piece of lore. This is a piece of the history of the show from the kind of troubled era when they were making fun of their leads all the time. And to know that they had some restraint, not a lot. They still had the puppet made, but they ultimately chose not to use it in the date. And then ultimately not even to air the day portion of the date that Warburton hosted. You've got a real gem here. If I was to put a dollar amount on this, what do you think it would be, Pace Case? This is now my Antiques Roadshow segment.
For how much you would buy the puppet for? I definitely don't think you should say the maximum amount. That's just okay. Part of bargaining or haggling. $200? I feel like that seems fair.
That's probably in the ballpark, yeah.
How big is the puppet?
I mean, I assume it's a hand-sized puppet.
In my mind, it's life-size. Okay. If it's hand size, then I would say only $100.
It's not life size. What?
In my mind, these were puppets the size of children.
Right. They were like the doll that had to be carried around. I don't think so.
But I guess not. Handheld, don't go over 100 clues.
But no, this is a priceless artifact. Please don't sell it.
Gosh.
Hold on to this for your entire life. Be buried with it. This is the thing that you want to define your life. That's what I think. That's just what that would be me if I had this puppet.
Be buried with it and all your other puppets.
Just this one. This is the only puppet that matters. At any rate. You know, actually, though, I would like to have a Shawcrank puppet.
I'm just like picturing the funeral and they just like have a nice outfit and then they're like, and one last piece. And they just put the puppet, Rachel Recchio puppet on the hand.
On the hand,
she really wanted this,
but it's like sticking up in the coffin. The hand is like up. You know, I would love to have that DLP puppet. I don't know if there's any way to get it. If there is, DM me. I'd love to own that. Anyway, thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much to this pit dweller for this beautiful scream, and you know, revealing some BTS that I couldn't have conceived of, but I'm happy it exists.
Happy to have the knowledge, happy to have the images, and happy that someone who dwells deep within the pit with us has this artifact. To me, that's a win. It's like if the pit has the artifact, we all have the artifact, in my opinion. So thank you very much. And thank you to everyone who joined us today for this week in Bachelor Nation.
This belongs in a pit museum.
We will have that eventually, I think. But thanks again to everybody for joining us today. We will be back on Monday with our live show that takes place at 4:30 p.m. PST if you're on our Patreon. We will also be back Monday with a Digging Deeper, which has a lot of certified juicers already in it. I'm going to be pulling a couple more clips here.
Hopefully Prue gets in next time.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It was a hard listen. I'm not going to beat around the bush. It was a hard listen. I think once she starts interviewing people, maybe it'll take off a little more. But I just get the sense that she is really relegating that podcast to the Christian influencer sphere. And if you're not in that or have no interest in
it. Yeah, she's not going to have Popeye on.
Maybe she will.
Sluice.
But it felt very much to me like it's the Christian space. And that'll be that. But we wish her well nonetheless, of course. But once again, thank you for joining us. And before we go, as always, Pace Case, what is that dwab at?
It has been 8,039 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in
3 body problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the 7-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.